the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
Thank you.
Almighty God, as your only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, ascended into the heavens, so may we also ascend in heart and mind and continually dwell there with him who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading for the ascension of our Lord is from the book of Acts, the first chapter. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. To them he presented himself alive after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the first chapter. "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter. Then Jesus said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, blessing God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father, and he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
and ascended on high. Our reading today is from Ephesians, the first chapter, these verses, St. Paul's prayer, that you may know what is the hope to which God has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. This is our text. In times like these, people wonder. They wonder who's in charge, what's the Lord doing, and where can we find him? And when I say people wonder, we really ought to be honest that it's not just people, but we too wonder these things. Looking around, we're also tempted to answer the questions by saying that there's no one in charge and that the Lord is doing nothing and that he can't be found anywhere. Don't believe it. Don't believe what you may feel or what you may think by looking around at the world today. There's a great deal more going on than what we can see with our eyes, as the ascension of our Lord reveals. And I'd like to think about the ascension from two perspectives. There's the on-the-ground perspective and the from-above perspective. St. Luke, both in the reading from Acts and in his gospel, he gives us the perspective of what the ascension is like from the ground. You could say that he puts us in the shoes of the disciples, and he gives us their perspective. You know which one I'm talking about, the looking up perspective, mouths agape, wondering where Jesus has gone. As the disciples watched, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. He enters a cloud. Not just a regular cloud, but the cloud of God's divine glory, the cloud that had settled over the tabernacle and over the temple in the Old Testament, indicating that God was there. That's the cloud which Jesus enters. And there he takes on a cloak of invisibility. Jesus parted them from them, Luke writes, and was carried up into heaven. And you might expect that being parted would leave the disciples depressed or despairing, or discouraged. But it doesn't. The disciples are filled with joy after Jesus' ascension, and they worshiped him. So this is the view from where we stand on earth of Jesus' ascension. Jesus, our brother, is taken up into glory, hidden from our sight, while the church on earth rejoices and worships him. St. Paul adds another perspective. He gives us the view of the ascension from above. It's as if he puts us right inside that cloud, right next to the angels and the archangels. He gives us a peek of the unseen throne. At the ascension, St. Paul writes, God seated Jesus, our brother, at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one that is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Did you hear what was said? Especially the prepositions. At the ascension, Jesus is seated above all, but not in a way that makes your worries and your concerns beneath him. His power is over all, but not in the manner of a tyrant. All things, it says, are under his feet, sin, death, and the devil crushed, and yet a bruised reed he will not break, and a faintly burning wick he will not quench. And thanks be to God for that. Ascended on high, Jesus isn't disconnected. He isn't separated from our world or from us. No, he's joined more closely than your head is to your body, because he is the head and the church is his body. And guess what? With this view from above, same thing is happening above that was happening below. Above in heaven, angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven rejoice at Christ's ascension, and they worship him too. Heaven and earth are united in praise of Jesus. The joy is almost palpable. A hymn of glory, let us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. It goes on and on and on. And if you can't hear it yet, oh, you will. The day is coming. We confess that Jesus ascended into heaven. But just what do we mean by this? We don't just mean that he ascended into the paradise of those who are redeemed. He did that, of course, but far more. Have no doubt that as a human being, Jesus opened the way into paradise for you, just as he did for the thief on the cross. Because of him, wide open stand the gates adorned with pearl. But there's more. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he not only threw the gates wide open, but he kept on going. And he went all the way to the throne. As a man, he ascended to the right hand of God, to the heaven of God's majesty and glory and power. So when we think of Jesus ascending into heaven, it's a little bit different than how we think of it when one of our brothers or sisters in Christ dies. Jesus isn't in heaven just in the same way as our dear brother John Meyer, who went there on Thursday, or as our loved ones who have died in the faith. They are in heaven as citizens. But Jesus ascended into heaven as the ruling monarch, as the King of kings and Lord of lords, King not only of heaven, but above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name of all times and all places and over all things. The fancy name the church has used for this is that we describe Jesus as the Pentocrator, the all-powerful and almighty, even all-powerful and almighty, over the coronavirus and the world economies and the quarantine and stay at home. Another pastor put it like this: when we confess in the creed that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, we confess that the human nature which he assumed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin and in which he offered to God a sufficient ransom to release all people from the debt to sin and the power of death, that this human nature has now been exalted and raised above every height imaginable, given the exercise of all power in heaven and on earth. The one who bears in his hands the scars of the nails now rules over all. And then he goes on. So when I complain about the way things go in my life, when I gripe about the troubles of the world or of the church, I'm actually complaining about the way the crucified and risen one sees fit to govern, aren't I? It puts a different perspective on life, doesn't it? That my complaining and my grumbling and my griping isn't just about against the authorities of this age, but indeed is griping and grumbling against the one who is above all things. Me, putting my puny wisdom and my puny ideas against the omnipotence and the wisdom and the love of Christ. When Scripture proclaims that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, don't think of it as a seat of rest, but as a seat of honor. Not a lazy boy, but a throne. The King's seat, that's where Jesus is. He is enthroned not only as God, he always had all power and authority as God, but now also as true man. Which means that one like us is on the seat of power, our own flesh and blood. You can think about what happens maybe in a small town like Westminster when someone makes it big, makes it in the MLB or the NFL or something like that, or rises the ranks in political power. He's one of us. That's what we say when Jesus ascends to heaven. He's one of us, our own flesh and blood. And when we say that he sits down, it's not as if he sits down to be inactive or to be passive. No, at his ascension, he entered into a new and greater way of caring for his people. He is actually, right now, and actively, right now, ruling over all things for your good, even when we can't see it, and even when we don't understand it. This is an article of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight in this. But there's even more than that to the right hand of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ not only rules over all things for the well-being of the church, he also constantly intercedes for us before the Father. He is praying for us. He is bringing our needs before the Father. In Hebrews, it says it this way. He is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. That is, he prays for you. And when you sin, he says to the Father, Father, forgive. Look not upon their sins, but look upon my scars that testify that I have answered for all their sin. He is our mediator, the one who stands in the breach between us and God. And he didn't stop that work when he came down from the cross or when he rose from the dead, but he continues to be your mediator with the Father by his unceasing prayers for you, by which he saves you to the uttermost. And then there's even more. Not only is he ascended to heaven to intercede for us, but his ascending to heaven doesn't put him far away. He is not removed from us, but he is brought even closer. Oh yes, he's removed from us in a way that we cannot see him, but he is not gone. Remember his promise, which still stands. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And indeed, we confess in the church that Jesus is not far away, but he is present wherever his word and his sacraments are. He is present this day, indeed, right here, through the word proclaimed and through his own body and blood by which he will feed and nourish you. Jesus is not gone. He is not absent, but he is as close as these words and sacraments, ruling over you for your good, forgiving your sin, granting you life and salvation, so that he has raised us up together and made us sit together with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The ascension does not take him far away, but brings him near and joins you to him. This is how great the treasures are of our Lord's ascension today, that he is ruling over every circumstance so that peace displaces our complaining, that he is constantly interceding for us so that joy drives out our anxieties, and that he is constantly with us in his word and his sacraments so that we are never alone, but we are always with him who sits at the right hand of God. Jesus, our mediator, Jesus, your King, Jesus, your risen, ascended, glorified Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever, and on to the ages of ages. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
trumpet. Interceding for us before his Father's throne, we now bring him our thanksgivings and prayers. Ascended Lord, hear the prayers of your people and grant our supplication. That the Lord may grant us all things in Christ, so we may be sustained in trial, strengthened in weakness, and delivered from trouble, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. That the Church of Christ may flourish, and the good news of Christ crucified, risen, and ascended would be proclaimed to all the ends of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Lord may richly supply us with faithful pastors who will preach his word in season and out, and that we may hear, believe, and live out this gospel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the nations of the earth may seek peace, and that the leaders of our country may pursue justice, righteousness, and peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the pandemic may come to an end, and that livelihood and common life may resume, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That all who are afflicted may be strengthened in illness and comforted in adversity, especially Jesse Meyer, who is hospitalized, Diane, Tamas's sister, also hospitalized, Agatha Dexter's great-granddaughter, and Kay Estabrook's mother, Kimberly. And for those who mourn, especially the families of John Meyer and John Eric Studlian's cousin, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the faithful may not fret what we do not know, but rejoice in Christ our Savior, and live in holiness and righteousness all the days of our lives, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the Lord may grant us joyful hearts and peace at the last, knowing that neither death nor life nor any powers can separate us from the love of God in Christ, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may be as generous in our tithes and offerings as the Lord is in giving us his gifts, and that we may support the poor and those in need, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may know the Lord's presence and the means of his grace, hearing his word, receiving his absolution, and feasting at his table with faith and joy in our hearts, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That we may remember the saints of old who contended for the Lord in their own day, and that we may join them at last in the marriage feast of the Lamb without end, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
All these things and whatever else we need, we ask you to grant us for the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to all his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, that he might make us partakers of his divine life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul for life everlasting. Depart in peace.
The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.